is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I'm a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime movies, and this is the
Deck the Lifetime Uncourt podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't hear it last week.
You did. Because
last week was so different than this week.
That's right. We were buried in Barstow.
Buried in Barstow. This week.
For me, I watched a movie.
This week, we're buried in trash and people's belongings. So we are buried.
I was under the impression this was a biopic of the All-American Reject.
Which might be. It is like a bunch of trash, like all in one room. So, hell, American. Hey, how was Mandy Moore live at 9:30 Club?
Oh, you know, amazing. Oh, I'm watching This Is Us as well, so it's like very confusing because in that she's an old lady, and in real life she's a young lady. So, I was like, man, she's doing great for an old lady, and then I'm like, no, she's a young person. You know?
Did you get a chance to let her know that you're best friends?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I love you.
And oh, yeah?
She's like, no, the song's I Want to Be With You, not I Love You.
Be better.
How many people were at the 9:30 Club for the Mandy Moore show?
You know, it holds about 1,000, and I'd say that there weren't 1,000 people there, but there was...
It was not a sold-out show?
No, I mean, I think there's still tickets available to all our shows. So if you want to come.
How old is Mandy Moore in real life? Because in my mind, she's always just like 30.
She's got to be like right around my age.
Yeah, she's our age, like 30, 37, 38.
She hasn't aged, though.
She's 38. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Patrick, she's our age.
She there looks the same now as she did in A Walk to Remember.
That's wild. Does. I mean, This Is Us. Like, you never know. Walk to Remember.
Walk to Remember is such a terrible movie.
False.
Just awful.
Oh, so good.
And you call yourself a Christian.
Dude, Shane West and Mandy Moore in that movie are just an unmitigated disaster.
She sings a Switchfoot song.
I mean.
Yeah, she does.
Wow. You
know, Christian rock music. I mean, I didn't know that movie was like a Christian movie going into it. I was like, you know, a heathen and in my teens. And I was like, this movie is awesome. I did not catch any of the religious stuff until much later.
But when you did turn your life over to the Lord.
I mean,
of course.
You don't want to.
That's the only response.
Reason you can celebrate someone's walk to death is because death is not the end. Patrick.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You can say, I was saved. Another Mandy Moore movie.
Yeah. Ooh. No, no. Saved is a good movie. Like a Justin. Classic. Have you seen it?
I don't know if I have.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen 27 Feet Down.
Saved is a kind of a satire on Christian camp.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Conversion. Gay conversion camp is also featured in that. So
wow.
I really enjoyed that movie.
She's really ran the game.
I wonder if it holds up. I've not seen it since it came out.
I saw it recently because it's on streaming. It's on like, you know, one of those streaming. And she plays like
you know streaming?
Meat,
have you, you heard
know,
of
one
it?
Of those. Yeah, you've heard of it, right?
Yeah.
She plays like the villain. She's a bad girl.
Oh, a baddie. Right.
And she has like a mullet.
I love that.
The hair is iconic.
It's 27 feet down, right? The one with the shark?
No, the 40 meters
40
down.
Meters down.
Or 47 meters
I'm down. Thinking of 27 hours. This is 40 meters. Yeah. 40.
There's 28
whatever
days
it is
later, 27 hours, 47 meters down.
Whatever the one with the shark is down there. I had fun with that movie.
That's a fun little movie.
Yeah.
That's a good twist at the end, too.
It is a great twist at the end. It saves the whole movie.
So, wait. She's an old person and This Is Us now?
You've never. She is for the whole show because it's a flashback,
show,
right?
She literally plays.
I don't know anything about the show, to be honest.
She plays like ages like 20 to 80 or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. How does that look? The makeup in the beginning is a little rough, but on the last season that just finished up, it is believable. I think, you know, she's an Emmy contender for sure.
Wow, an Emmy contender. You heard it here first, everyone.
That's right.
I'm biased. I mean, I've seen every Mandy Moore movie in the theater the weekend it releases.
You saw Saved in the theater opening weekend?
Yeah, I did. In Bethesda, like one of the indie theaters, you know?
Okay,
so
real quick.
So it was like just you in the theater, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw Saved in the theater, and I thought I was the only one, but I forgot that Patrick and I are the same exact age, so that helps in this regard a lot.
Yeah.
Did you have a thing for Mandy Moore?
Sure. I mean, I did not like Mandy Moore, but I just wanted to see it because it was a satire on the entire youth group culture I grew up in.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to see it. How long ago was this? Gosh, mid-2000s, okay. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably 2003... around there.
Wow. Do they play ska music in it?
Oh, there's got to be some.
It's got to be some.
I think so, yeah, at the prom.
You missed it by 1 year, Patrick. Oh,
hey,
four.
Patrick is just an encyclopedia of Mandy Moore.
I mean,
yeah, I should change lifetime expert to Mandy Moore expert.
Do you know who else is in Saved? We're just going to do a different podcast today. is Macaulay Culkin.
What?
Yeah, he's in it. Like a real role in it, too. He's great.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Pretty, he made a cameo in
check it out.
In Righteous Gemstones, speaking of spiritual satire, and it was one of the best things ever. I don't know if you watched that show, Patrick, but it was fantastic.
No, never heard of Righteous
HBO
Gemstones.
HBO Righteous Gemstones. It's a Danny McBride show. But it's John Goodman and people.
Listen,
like that,
with the there's a lot of Lifetime out there. For something to like pull Patrick away from Lifetime, it either has Mandy Moore or he doesn't watch.
That's right.
It.
That's true.
That's
true.
Kind of what
Lifetime
I'm getting
or
here.
Mandy Moore would be right. The two those avenues.
Are, those Got are it. My two two strengths.
Let's talk Lifetime. We are heading into, was this the kickoff of Ripped from the Headlines summer? Is that kind of the vibe we got going on right now?
Yes. And Ripped from the Headlines is loose.
Yes,
loose
because this not from the headlines. It's not based on any one particular true story from what I gathered, correct?
That is correct. It's based on a book called Dirty Little Secrets.
Right.
And totally fictionalized. I was trying to find a case that was similar, but there is nothing. There is nothing.
Really, the only thing, like, headline this is ripped from is that hoarders exist. That's
right.
But the way in which the movie ends is not a true rip from the headlines.
No.
Which we'll
thank
get to.
Thank goodness we'll get to
thank
it.
Thank goodness.
But,
good Lord.
Wow. It was quite the ending. I was very shocked.
I think we all were, Patrick. Now, this is Melissa Joan Hart in a non-Christmas movie, which doesn't seem to happen.
Speaking of like Melissa Joan Hart in movies, the last movie she was in that I can remember is what's that high school one where they're like all, oh God, what was it? Where she did the crazy video. You know, she had a moment. She had a moment where she was like in the Britney Spears crazy video and she was in that like teen movie.
What?
Oh, Drive Me Crazy.
Drive Me Crazy. Yeah, she was in that.
Drive Me Crazy. Melissa Joan Hart. I'm here to help.
There you go.
And Patrick and I, if there was a like 90s, 2000s like movie trivia night, I think Patrick and I would probably do well. That would be my guess between the two of us. I think I
would love to attend that just to be a fly on the wall. Right. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
But that's the only movie I can think of her in, and it was still a comedic. Like I've never seen this.
Wasn't Adrian Grenier in that too from Entourage?
Yes, Adrian Grenier, smelly guy.
But it seems like now she's exclusively Lifetime Christmas movies. She's gotten into the producer's chair a bit, but this is acting, this is serious, this is hoarding. So Patrick, if you don't mind, let's
this is acting
this is serious, this is hoarding. This is us, Mandy Moore, back
this
to the
is
beginning
me.
really brought it full circle.
Patrick, let's dive in, buddy. Let us know what we're talking about here.
So we, of course, you know, we have our movie Dirty Little Secrets starring Melissa Joan Hart, and we have her daughter played by Lizzie Boyce. Those are the two like top billed people.
What's Lizzie up to? Is she a Lifetime staple at this point, or is she
Lizzie,
new to the,
she's
to
been
fold?
In a few Lifetime movies. I think she's like coming up in the Canadian circuit.
Canada.
Oh, Canadian.
I love the Canadian circuit.
Yeah, she's like, you know, up and coming like TV actress who will probably do more things. Like she's been in like Firefly, like Nancy Drew.
Okay.
Like Canadian, anything filmed in Canada, she's been in it. When Calls the Heart, she did some of that. She's good. I don't mind her. And I'm trying to see if there's anybody else notable in this cast, but I don't think there is.
No, I did not recognize anybody. Well, the guidance counselor I recognize. I think she's she's in the Canada circuit.
She's in the Canada circuit.
Yeah, I do recognize the guidance counselor, but that's about it.
Okay. Well, so jumping in, we have our protagonist, Lucy, that's Lizzie Boyce, and she is like doing a voiceover narrative, so we know it's going to be through like her perspective, right? Which I was like, okay, that's an interesting choice, like through the daughter of the hoarder, and it all seems pretty normal. Like, oh, wait, before we get started, I should say, like, hey, we're talking about hoarding, which is like a mental health issue. If we are making fun of anything about hoarders and stuff, we're not making fun of hoarders, we're making fun of the movie's depiction of hoarders.
Right? Yes, 100%.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun here at Deck the Light Time Uncorked, but we do not make fun of mental illness. We don't punch down. That's exactly right.
Right. So just to clarify, so Melissa Joan Hart is just living her life, dropping her daughter off at school. She's a successful nurse who saved some guy's life by realizing his implant was he was allergic to the titanium in the implant.
Wow.
So she got him a gold implant.
That's how you know she's good.
Yeah. She is good. She is good. And she makes sure that you know that she did it just by listening. Mm. That's the key of being a good nurse, is you're listening to what your patient is saying. And that can save someone's life.
She's very empathetic. She's very focused on the patient. She's a good caregiver. She's good at her
job.
She
seems very together. She seems very like she's really good at her job. Like, she's crushing it. I think we would all agree.
Yeah, and she's celebrated. Like, they have a birthday party for her. They bring her balloons and flowers.
It is her birthday, yes. It is her birthday.
And meanwhile, Lucy's at school and she's like very shy. She lays low. She doesn't really, you know, have a lot of friends. She has like one friend.
She has one friend, yeah.
And she takes showers at school. And we're like, huh, that's interesting. She's taking showers in like a locker room every day. Which, good for you, bathe every day, but at school, like, what?
Thanks for the atta girl.
Thumbs up for hygiene. Thumbs down for at school every day.
I will say, that's high school. You can take it or leave it. Everybody's kind of walking on their own hygiene journey in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Totally, totally. So at home, of course, it's another story. The movie shifts tone like drastically. It starts off very like rom-com, like happy movie. And then once we get to the house, the music kind of goes into like a foreboding soundtrack. And you just see the characters, Lucy and Melissa Joan Hart, are having normal conversation, like mother-daughter stuff. But around them is just piles and piles and piles of stuff.
Piles. Mm. Yes.
So even though Melissa Joan Hart is an expert nurse at her job,
yeah,
she comes home and is full hoarder.
Full hoarder. That's right.
Absolutely. And there's no running water. Like, the water's been shut off. Like, Lucy, that's why she's not showering at home. She has
that's right.
To, like,
whenever she has to go to the bathroom, she fills up the tank with water that they get from, I don't know where that water's from, but water from a thing, like, so that she can flush her toilet. Melissa Joan Hart at one point gets a call from a collections agency, which she declines. So things clearly, she clearly has a good job, but the money
is going to hoarding.
That would be my guess. She's buying things to hoard.
Yeah. And
wow.
That's kind of like what they're getting at with the movie, is like Melissa Joan Hart's character is buying things, planning for the life she's going to have once she cleans up her house, you know, like, it's interesting, an interesting perspective on hoarding, and like, they're trying to not get too deep into the psychological stuff, but
of course not.
But, you know, that's what they're implying, is like, she is just buying, planning for this dream life that she's always dreaming of and never materializes.
A network that throws out trafficking on the regular. So I don't expect them to, like, you know, nothing but net on hoarding. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't expect them to do a great job with it.
Oh, yeah. And they don't. And they really don't. So, you know, they deliver on that. But they do a good job. Like, the director did a good job here, like, creating, like, that claustrophobic environment with like everything being around her. Lucy only has like half of her bed that is hers, and the rest of her room is like filled with her mom's stuff, you know? So like,
oh my gosh,
this child is like in an unfit living situation. Yes. You know?
Yes.
And she's like graduating, going off to college, but we learn that she has brothers and sisters who also graduated, and they pretty much just left Lucy there to deal with the mom. They are like, we went to college, we're out, we survived, good luck to you.
We out of here. See ya. Exactly right. But yeah, they're like, she says multiple times, like, this is for the future. Like, I got this for us. So like, there's like cooking stuff that she got for them, that once they clean up, they can cook.
Got it.
So like in her mind, like all this stuff.
But as a nurse, she's wonderful. No
as
problem.
She crushes it as a nurse.
Yeah. I mean, the gold heart. That tells you all you need to know.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. And Lucy's sister calls to like check in periodically. And the message from the sister, Sarah, is like, don't let anyone know about the hoarding. You have to keep it a secret, because if it comes out, you will be taken away by Child Protective Services. Like, they understand what is at stake here.
Got it.
It's not like they're like, oh, this is just how we live. Like, Lucy knows that she can be taken away from her mother at any time.
They're all committed to feeding their mother's mental illness in order to stay at home.
Right.
Yeah, which is probably the most serious depiction of anything on Lifetime ever.
There is, and we'll get to it, but there is a reason why they're aware.
Is it a secret twist where the daughter's the hoarder?
No. That would be great.
That'd be great.
No, but there is a reason why they're aware of, like, when you're in something, oftentimes it's hard to.
Oh, no, for sure.
So there's a reason why they're all aware of what's going on
here. Yes, and we get some, like, more depictions of the mental illness. So like Melissa Joan Hart is watching like HGTV, and she's like, oh my gosh, that room is so cute. And she'll like fixate on like something like a chair. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's the chair I want. And she like starts looking through magazines, and she's like, I'm going to clean this place up. And then she starts going through her
like
boxes.
She has like a bunch of catalogs of like
stuff she wants to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she wants to make like a dream board of sorts of her perfect
vision board,
living room. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And during this scene, this is where Melissa Joan Hart goes for her Emmy. This is her one chance, and she loses the scissors, and she's like, where are the scissors with the black handle? I'm doing exactly what she's doing. Where are the scissors with the black handle? I can't live like this. Just like that.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Give her the Emmy right now.
Yeah.
Give her the Emmy right now.
And old Lucy over there is just like, I don't know where your scissors are. And Melissa Joan Hart's like, you had them last. And Lucy's like, when did I have them last? And she's like, with your backpack. And she's like, I haven't had a backpack in a year. And
she pronounced like, hard K's like that.
She's just very like, she just kind of yells.
Yeah.
Yells things.
I'm telling you, like, she is enunciating and yelling.
Hard, yes. So no one knows where. And then Lucy finds a pair of scissors, but they're not the ones with the black handles. Ugh. And so that upsets Melissa Joan Hart even more. And she's like, what's even the point, basically?
Right. So you get to see that their relationship is like, Lucy's walking on eggshells and a lot of trash in the house. But like, it's like not a good situation.
Sounds like a real actor showcase. So in that regard.
100%.
Oh, yes. This is very much like it is what you expect Lifetime acting to be. Nailed it. They nailed it.
100%.
So Lucy at school is partnered with some handsome guy for her project, but he like can't come to her house for like to work on the project. So she's really nervous. And she like makes up lies why he can't come over. So she goes over to his house, which is beautiful, like very
clean,
modern, clean.
Has chairs.
What?
Yeah.
Beds.
Little things.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
Wild out there.
And we find out that his name is Josh, of course, and his mom is an alcoholic. And so things aren't as great as they seem with him. They bond over that. And then they end up like making out in like a music room later, like as you do in school, you know?
Yeah. Lucy finds out that just because you don't have trash everywhere in your house, your home life can still be dysfunctional.
It can be bad, even if your mom's not a hoarder.
That's exactly right.
There are other ways of bad.
That's exactly right. And yeah. If that doesn't make you want to kiss somebody, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Right. So, you know, we're getting a little setup of a love thing going on and kind of the outsider's perspective, but we need to go back in time through a flashback and we see how it all started with Melissa Joan Hart, because like something triggers Lucy's memory and she, her mom was on the other side of the spectrum. So she was like super fastidious and like
a clean freak.
Absolutely. Everything had order. And then her husband was like, I can't take this. I'm out of here. Leaves. I think Melissa Joan Hart like gets upset and gets into a car accident, which puts her out. So things kind of get in disarray in the house, and her she's in the hospital and the aunt comes over and like her sister, and she's like, what the heck is going on? This house is terrible. And
to be clear, Patrick, the house was in disarray before the accident. So it's not like she got an accident and the kids let the house go. After her husband left, she started to collect things for like when he came back or things that she could do with the kids or whatever.
So this is just all trauma response.
What they outline here is that she has OCD and she had it on one end of the spectrum to be super clean. Then her husband left and it triggered and she went into the opposite. They literally say, like, I think they call her South Pole OCD versus like
South Pole OCD.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Sounds medical.
So her aunt, Melissa Joan Hart's sister, comes and she cleans the place while Melissa Joan Hart is gone.
Yes.
And the kids help. They're happy to help mom. But when mom comes home, they find out that this isn't what mom
sounds
wanted.
Like a very serious movie.
It is very serious. Oh, yeah. It's not a lot of fun here.
It all is straightforward. But, you know, going back to the North Pole, South Pole thing, like, this is Lifetime breaking it down. You know, they're breaking down the mental health by relating it to North Pole.
What do
South
people
Pole.
Know? What do people know? They know Santa.
Yeah, they're like, I think let's make it relatable. Let's bring it to Santa. They love Christmas movies, right?
Yeah. When Melissa Joan Hart gets home from the car accident, though, she sounds a bit like a pirate and she's like, my treasures. Are me treasures? She does like a pirate thing, which is interesting. Boy. She falls down and like is like holding glass and it's like falling all over.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, my treasure.
It was very strange. I was watching with my mom and she was like, did she say treasures? I'm like, yeah.
She kept saying treasures.
It was very weird.
Treasures.
Wow.
And she like writes off her sister for doing this. And basically the kids get from that experience of cleaning and her mom not taking it well, that if they try to clean the house, their mom will like disown them, you know? So
got it.
You don't mess with mom's treasures.
Yes.
Me treasures.
Me treasures.
But exactly. Melissa Joan Hart, back in the present day, she's also like starting to find love with the patient who has the heart of gold. His name's Drew. And she is... they like go on dates and she's telling how she's trying to keep Lucy safe and secure. And she's maybe like built up a wall around the two of them because it is just the two of them. They don't let anyone else in. And she's maybe ready to take those walls down. So she starts thinking about like maybe cleaning up the house. Like she starts having like, she can start visualizing that, you know? And she comes home from her date and Lucy's actually cleaning. Like she's motivated. She like throws away some bubble wrap and Melissa Joan Hart's like, what are we made of money? We cannot throw this away. Bubble wrap. What if we need it for something? And Lucy's like, well,
what
buy
if we
more.
Need to mail something? What if we need to do this?
Yeah. She comes up with like all the excuses. And
so all of the stuff in the house is for like, what if like,
yeah,
in
contingencies.
The future?
Yes.
In the future.
Yeah, they get like a crazy screaming fight so bad that Melissa Joan Hart's asthma flares up and she has to like take her inhaler because she's living in an environment where she can't really breathe like good air. So she like is very asthmatic from like living in like paper, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she has asthma and they want you to know that pretty quickly. And it really only flares up when she gets upset.
Yes,
like that's
of course.
Kind of the, how
yeah,
asthma is.
I mean, I don't have asthma, but I from what I've seen in Lifetime movies, it happens when you're being kidnapped. It happens when you're like in a fight or it happens like, you know, on the soccer field and no one has your inhaler and then you die.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. Yeah. But this time she's very, she's, you know, typically got that sucker with it.
There's got to be a few steps between no one has your inhaler and then you die, right? Like, it's not that, is it that?
Well, on Lifetime, I mean, you know, like, it's very common for someone to have an inhaler and then a bad guy comes and takes the inhaler away and then that kills him. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So okay, she's sucking down that inhaler on a regular basis. Like, things upset her, and then she's good to go.
Yes, it's like me with my wine.
No doubt.
You know, I get upset. Yeah. I drink some wine.
Or Mandy Moore.
Or Mandy Moore. Yeah,
or whatever.
Put on a Mandy Moore album.
Good to go.
I guess kind of the daughter starting to like diagnose her mother and like really try to like break down this hoarding thing, and Melissa Joan Hart's like, no, like, I'm the mother, like, you're, get out of my house type of thing. There's dishes broken. It's like a drag out fight.
Yeah. From what I would assume here, this is like the first time they've ever fought about this. Like, once Lucy fights once, it's on like Donkey Kong. Because, like, they fight one time, and then, like, every other scene is her like, yelling
she's
at her
broken.
Mom.
Yeah.
She's like, now I'm ready to go. At one point, she talks to her guidance counselor from Canada, and like, her guidance counselor kind of reads between the lines of what she's saying, calls in Melissa Joan Hart, and Melissa Joan Hart is like, there's nothing wrong here. I know my daughter. And then she gets mad at Lucy for talking about it. It's a whole thing. And then Lucy's throwing dishes down. It's like, treasures. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, and Melissa Joan Hart is, like, spiraling now. Like, she's fighting with her daughter. She breaks up with Drew because she realizes that she's never going to be able to, like, clean up her house and, like, get things in order. And she really tries. She throws away some bubble wrap, and she's like, takes it to the trash, throws it away. She's very excited. She's like, okay, I can do this. And then she starts getting overwhelmed by like all the stuff in her house. You know, she'll sit down and like open a box and be like, what's in this box? Oh, I gotta keep that. Going through everything. And then she gets really upset. Do you remember what she got upset about, Bran? That
just all of it. Treasures. I think treasures. I mean, treasures. Like, how am I gonna throw these out? She starts to have a asthma attack.
Classic.
Yes.
And it's at this point in time, what do you think?
This is it.
She can't find that sucker.
She can't find, what if she needs it? She needs it now. This is why you got to keep everything.
Can't find it. Can't find it.
What I'm learning from this is that I should keep more things, I feel like.
Why is that?
She can't find her inhaler.
That's true. Yeah. She threw out bubble wrap. None of this happened before she threw out the bubble wrap.
That's very true. She should have kept that bubble wrap because what happened is she left the inhaler by the trash can, but she doesn't
find it. That's right. She maybe dropped it or something.
She
it's outside.
She doesn't find it. She doesn't find it. She starts to like, you know, go into like asphyxiation and whatever. And she falls into like some boxes and they all fall on her. And then, you know, she basically, well, that's it for this scene. We see her like, we see the boxes fall on her and we're like, oh no, that's not good.
Right.
And Lucy comes home. This is the start of like our act three. It's like getting crazy. Lucy comes home. She finds her mother. Melissa Joan Hart is totally dead. Totally
100%
dead.
Dead.
Blue,
they killed MJ.
Blue lips.
Killed. Yeah. Killed her. Did a pulse check and everything.
It was like, you know, in a Lifetime movie, if you check that pulse and you shake your head no, that means that they're dead.
That's
but
exactly
she's coming
right.
back to life?
No, she's not coming back to life.
She's really dead.
Really, we don't hear
dead.
From Melissa Joan Hart the rest of the movie.
Melissa Joan Hart is dead.
Yes.
So Lucy's faced with a decision, Dan. So naturally, her mom's lying there. She's dead. She did the pulse check, shook her head
Lifetime killed MJH.
Yeah, you can just get over it. We're past it now, buddy.
It's truly shocking. Like, it's one it, of...
If you tell me that she comes back to life later in this movie,
no,
I'm going to be real
no,
mad.
No, it gets worse before it gets better.
Okay.
So, my girl Lucy does what anybody would do.
Becomes
here.
A hoarder.
No. She sees her mom lying there dead, and she goes to call 911.
Yes.
And in dialing 911, she begins to envision all that will happen. The cops coming, police coming, saying, this is the worst hoarded house we've ever seen. So the fear of the word getting out that everyone's going to know that her mom is a hoarder.
Her mom's dead.
Doesn't matter. She doesn't want her mom to be remembered like this. So she closes the phone and she says, no one's gonna know, mom.
No one's gonna know.
No one's gonna know.
Does she burn it down?
So
we'll see.
So Dan, this is where like your smart brain is going because you haven't seen the movie. And I love this for you because this is what we're all thinking watching it, right? We're like, what's gonna happen? Is she gonna become a hoarder? Is she gonna like burn the place down? No, she goes to a party.
Yeah, as you would. Classic.
She gets a call from her friend, and her friend's like, hey, do you want to go to a party? And she's like, I really shouldn't. I have a lot to do. My mom died.
Clean up all the stuff so no one knows.
But no, she goes to the party. She sees that guy there, and he's like, hey, how's it going? She's like, not having the best night ever.
It's C+ at best, I'd say. What in the world?
And she's like, you know what? I should leave the party. But at least I was here.
This seems like it's in poor taste. So I'm gonna leave now.
Absolutely. I mean, she's like playing beer pong, and like her mom is dead in the house. Like, come on, Lucy, get it together.
Good grief.
And this was like out of character.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt weird. Like she cried at first. She was very upset. And then, like, she gets a call from the party, and she's like, well, I can't not do that. So it's like something happened where she's like, I got a party.
She should become a hoarder.
Yeah.
That's how this should end.
Yes, I agree. But she comes home from the party, and her sister is, like, there outside the house. And she's like, hey, sis, like, what are you doing here? And the sister's like, oh, I was just, you know, checking in. And Lucy's like, oh.
Because she, like, panic texted, right, when she found
out she texts her
dead. She's like, I need help, blah, blah, blah. And now that the sister's there, she's like, oh, it's no big deal.
Just playing. Just kidding.
But, like, they know that she's a hoarder, so I don't know. Like, maybe, I don't know.
Well, the sister just leaves and is like, okay, well, I guess I don't need to do anything. Good luck. And Lucy then starts cleaning. This is when we get the inspirational music. It's a montage, a cleaning montage. And would think and by the way the movie's depicting this is like she's gonna clean the entire house, have her mom like on a bed, like with flowers. And that's how the movie's
she's going around town with like trash bags over her back, throwing them into dumpsters around town. People are getting mad at her for throwing them in private dumpsters.
What is happening?
Well, she's trying to clean up because no one's gonna know. Her mom is a hoarder. No one's going to know.
Because this was ripped from the headlines. In the real story, the girl cleaned the entire house in one night, and no one knew.
Is that true?
No, absolutely not. It's impossible. It's impossible. And Lucy realizes it's impossible. So that's when she has a well-deserved emotional breakdown. She covers her mom with family photos.
And she actually does say, everyone's gonna know.
Hey, mom.
After saying no one's gonna know at least a dozen times, she sits there, tears in her eyes, and says, everyone's gonna
know.
That's
just great.
And this is like very few dialogue between this whole thing. That's why I think that, Brand, you're remembering like these specific dialogues because it's all nonverbal, it's all showing.
Sheesh.
And she puts on her mother's sweater. She plugs in some heating lamps. And
a lot of heat. And because they didn't have heat, so they had a lot of heating lamps around the house.
You think, at this moment, I had the thought, oh, she's going to become a hoarder and just live with her, the dead body, Norman Bates style.
Norman Bates style.
And I was like, okay, that is a ending that I would be fine with. Like,
it's a solid ending.
Yeah, I'm like, that's dark, but unearned, but I'm here for it. But no, she catches the heating lamps on fire and starts like throwing paper on it and basically burns her house down. And then the firefighters are like coming in slow motion and Lucy's voiceover comes back and she says, the only way to keep a secret safe is to let it go. And that's the end of the movie.
That's it. Now, one thing I found to be fascinating, Patrick, was she's watching the fire spread and she looks like, and I'm like, okay, you got to get out of the house. And she takes a sewing machine and she throws it through the front window and climbs out.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why not go through the door?
Well, you see, the sewing machine is symbolism. Okay.
It's a symbolism.
Needle through a thread.
Stitching her life back together.
At first I thought maybe she like boxed herself in with fire, but she did. Like, we know there's a back door because she goes out the back door at some point. We know there's a front door. Either way, there was a door for her to go out, and she just decides to just throw something through the window and climb out.
Oh, yeah. You know, I,
you got it.
In that moment, I was just like, whatever. Like,
yeah, like, good on you. Like, get it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the movie.
That's the end of the movie.
That's how it
so,
ends.
What?
How is it? It feels like not much happened.
Not a lot. Mm-mm, so no. What I wish we knew is like what police kind of determined, because the best I could figure if I walked in here is there's a lady who's a hoarder who is laying on the ground surrounded by heating lamps and the house burned down, which is weird. It looks super suspicious.
A coroner is going to immediately figure out the time of death is way earlier.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of holes in this one.
It is so suspicious. It is so suspicious.
It's like Swiss cheese up in here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
so this hoarder plugged in five heating lamps and just laid down next to them.
She must have been really cold, and it wasn't
really
even
cold.
It wasn't even that cold.
Oh, she put family pictures all on top of her mom.
This is some creepy stuff.
So she laid, and assuming that she didn't, get murdered. The best case scenario, she laid down next to five heating lamps and covered her own body with pictures.
Oh.
That's best case scenario here.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like Lucy's plan was a little half-baked.
Everyone's gonna know.
And they'll still know. So
yeah, I think they're gonna know.
I think we start with Dan. Dan, what are we thinking?
Yeah, put a cork right up in this one. I just can't imagine watching this movie. It sounds miserable, and I hate every second of it, and I've not seen it. Thanks for vividly bringing that back to life for me, guys, but it's a hard pass for me. No, 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 no.
Okay.
No.
Bran, this is your first rip from the headlines one also.
It's my first rip from the headlines, and it's also going to be my first lifetime cork that I'm going to be doing. I have yet to put a cork in a movie. I've poured all of them up.
Wow.
And now I will say, I did still like enjoy it. Like, what? And like, this is funny.
It.
Like, Melissa Joan Hart acting was funny. Like, her, the daughter saying no one's going to know a dozen times and then saying everyone's going to know. Like, I love that. But like, to Dan, what you deciphered in this description of the movie, not a ton happens. Like, it is a lot of like, I'm mad at you, mom. I'm going to throw some things down.
It's a long 83 minutes, long 84 minutes there.
So I'm putting a cork in it, but like, if the cork fell out, like, there'd be nothing I could do about that. Like, at that point, I would pour it up. Like, if maybe I didn't put the cork in tight enough, it just kind of falls out.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to put a cork in movies, Brent. That's why we're here.
I don't like it.
You can say, you
it's
can
okay.
do that, Brent.
And even
okay, fine,
if
I'm corking it.
Even if it's not a so good or so bad it's good type of situation, yeah, sometimes Lifetime movies are very bad and, like, laughably watchable, but it's not going to be a rewatch, you know?
All right, I'm putting a cork in
so,
it.
Yeah.
It's like you're a hoarder of loving movies.
I know.
I think so, yeah. I'm definitely putting a cork in this one for sure. The third act was absolutely insane. Unearned. We started off very genuine in the beginning, and like, I thought we were going to go deep diving into like mental illness and talk about hoarding and like, what's that? I mean, this is the first time Lifetime's done a hoarding movie. So it's an interesting topic that I don't know a lot about. And I'm sure a lot of people deal with in their real lives, like to some degree. I mean, there's a scale here, I'm sure, of hoarder. Not every hoarder is, floor to ceiling boxes. There's probably like a junk room. People have like junk rooms in their house where you just kind of put stuff for later. Is that on the spectrum of hoarding? I don't know. I didn't learn anything about hoarding from this movie, so I can't speak intelligently about it. North Pole, South Pole. That's all I learned.
Yeah.
South Pole OCD.
And TV movies are great for teaching the public about about mental illness and about
that is true
stuff like that. I mean, that's what they were initially Florent Four in the 80s or 70s, 80s, they were to take on harder topics that you can't really cover in like a movie because no one would go see that. But if you put it on TV, maybe you'll learn about eating disorders. And is it problematic? Sure, of course. But you're more aware of the topic. So, yeah.
The only thing I learned in this movie is that if you have OCD and you are super clean, you're one bad event away from becoming a hoarder. And I don't actually know if that's accurate.
Right.
I don't know if the same, if just because, like, there's only...
Trauma affects us all differently, but that seems like...
Yeah, I just don't know if that's if that is true.
And if your goal of the movie, of the producers of the movie, the director, the writer, even Melissa Joan Hart was like on Good Morning America talking about how she worked with a therapist, she worked with like a physical therapist, she like had all these like specialists helping her like learn more about hoarding, but none of that really came through. It
seemed like this was meant to be an actor's showcase.
Sure.
And it fell miserably flat.
Yeah, she wasn't even the main character. Melissa Joan Hart wasn't even the lead character. It was all about Lizzie Boyce. And I thought Lizzie Boyce did great.
She did a swell job.
Wow.
Swell job indeed. Man.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, we did it. We absolutely did. And
that'll take us into the summer
the
of Santa's
or whatever
they're
calling.
The
most offensive thing is that there was no All-American Rejects in this movie, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I don't know what you do at that point.
I mean, when do you play it? When the house is burning down?
Yes. I'll keep you, my mom, my dirty little secret. So
who
yes,
to know?
Next month it will be Christmas in July here. So I think, Patrick, we will do one of the Christmas movies from last year that we didn't get around to covering. I think that would be the wise thing to do.
Or maybe like a classic Lifetime.
Yeah.
I need to watch as well.
Ooh,
if it's classic.
Ooh, I know what we could do. Okay. We're gonna do The Mistletoes.
Oh yeah.
The Mistletoes.
That's a Lifetime?
That's ABC Family.
Yeah, that's a Disney
Plus.
Doesn't
count. We can't do that.
Dang. Never mind. That one's a good one.
You scour through your notes and pick the one Lifetime Christmas movie that you think would really take Christmas in July to the next level.
Okay. Yes. I'll have to check the streamings to see.
All right. Yes. Check the streamings.
See what's out
check
there in the streamings. World.
That's right. I love it. I can't wait. We'll be back tomorrow with more stuff. Patrick, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a second week in a row. It was everything that I could have wanted and more.
So
buddy.
Fun. For Pride Month, you got to have me.
I mean, come on.
That's
this
exactly,
is like gay rights right here.
That's right. In action.
That's exactly right. Gay rights in action. I want people to leave a review of our podcast that just says gay rights in action.
There you go.
Back to Hallmark. Yeah. Gay rights in action. We're going to be back tomorrow with another one. Until then, we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen, feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.